Each of the four Gospels emphasizes certain aspects of the life, death, and teachings of Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of Luke, as we go through it, he actually emphasizes through his Gospel account how Jesus Christ was concerned about the poor and the inequities that exist between the rich and the poor, as well as the trappings of being rich. And there's a lot of passages in Luke dealing with the subject of riches. Well, let's just go to one of the parables of Jesus, chapter 16 of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 16. In my Bible, the parable of the unrighteous steward. And let's start to go through it. He said also to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward. The same was accused to him that he had wasted his goods. He called him and he said to him, how is it? I hear this of you. Give an account of your stewardship, for you may be no longer steward. Well, he said within himself, what am I going to do? For my Lord takes away from me the stewardship. That's his livelihood. For you may be no longer steward. Well, then he said, okay, I'm sorry. What shall I do? For my Lord takes away from me the stewardship. I can't dig. I'm not doing, I'm not doing construction work, To beg, I'm ashamed. I'm resolved what to do that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors to him. He said to the first, well, how much do you owe my Lord? And he said, well, 100 measures of oil. And he said, well, today's a good day. It's bargain day. Take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. It's a 50% discount. He said to another, well, how much do you owe? He said, well, I also owe 100 measures of wheat. He said, take your bill and write 80, 20%. The Lord commended, verse 8, the unjust steward. But let's just back up a little bit of what has been happening. The steward knew he was going to be fired, most likely. So he cuts a deal with the debtors of the Lord. And it was, we read, pay half, pay 80%. Why does he do this? He does it so they hopefully look kindly on him after he's out looking for work. Maybe they'll have some mercy on him. Maybe they'll hire him or help him out. Who knows? But something unusual happens. Verse 8. Let's go back to verse 8. The Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. So the steward is commended. The Lord, the master, says, it's actually good what you did. It was wise. And the children of light can learn a lesson from what you just did. Well, learn what? Verse 9. Well, I say to you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Now, reading this in the King James, maybe it's a little bit different in different translations. But in any event, this is, under the category of the difficult verse, right? This is, what is it talking about? Well, let's first start with mammon, old English word. Better translated riches, just think riches, right? Or money even, right? So Jesus Christ says, make friends or learn from what the steward did so that when you fail, you may be received into the kingdom of God. Well, fail most likely means to die, right? It's a euphemism. So after you follow the example of the unjust steward, when you die, Jesus says, you are gaining qualifications to be in the kingdom of God. And they will receive you. They, I would say, appear to be the children of light in the prior verse, right? The children of light certainly are God's people. Christians enlightened with the truth and following with, and of course they will be in the kingdom of God. But what is this parable all about? What is it really all about? We have to keep reading to get the context of what Jesus really wants us to learn. Verse 10 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, the riches, your money," right? "Who will commit to you trust the true riches?" Of course, he's thinking about the spiritual riches, right? Verse 12, "And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" So Jesus is talking about handling money and being faithful in handling it that is entrusted to us. Then he adds in verse 13, "No servant can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other." And a famous phrase, you cannot serve God and mammon, or riches. You can't serve both of them. You have to make a choice. So obviously he's saying, listen, you have to put money into perspective. Never really go for that. Never fully trust in it. Because if you do, then you're not really trusting and worshiping God. But there's one more scripture that really sheds light on this entire passage and the parable of what is Jesus talking about. Verse 14. Verse 14 is very key. "The Pharisees were listening to this. As it says, who were covetous. They heard all these things and they thought it was great. They thought it was really good teaching from Jesus. No, they derided him because they knew what the parable was all about. And it was about being covetous. It was about being covetous. It was about hoarding money, not being a giver, you know, grasping onto riches for yourself. And with this key point in mind, let's just go through some of the scriptures we already read. Let's go back to verse 8, for instance. The Lord commended the unjust steward. Why did he commend him? Well, we could come to one conclusion that the steward did what the Lord should have done, right? Cut some slack to the people that owe you money, a lot of money. The Lord should have been more like the steward and not exacted 100% of what was owed him. Again, he could have cut the debtor some slack, as the steward did. But coveting the money, exacting every penny, you owe me 100%, you know, that's it. You know, it's 100, not 99. That kind of attitude is not a trait that Jesus Christ wants the children of light to have. In verse 9, he tells us to learn from the steward, be generous, be forgiving when it comes to money when you are in a position to do so. Look at verse 11. If you haven't been faithful in handling money, right, what about handling other things? Because money is important. I mean, it drives everything, right? It's the most important thing in an election. It always comes down to how's the economy doing. People just care about their pocketbook, right? But God knows, so it's important how we handle money. And when we do that, it's a good sign that we can handle other things that perhaps have even more value. In verse 13, he talks about you can't serve two masters. Certainly, it teaches about the whole lesson here, about the proper use of money and wealth, the priorities we give it. You know, where do we spend our efforts and money? Is it making money and, you know, building up our bank account? Or, you know, do we put God first above all things? That's all part of this. So, the parable. Jesus Christ is concerned about how we deal with money, what we do with it, how we view it, how we deal with those that owe us money. No, he said in other passages how difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And why did Jesus say that? Well, the rich, you know, not all of them, but they can certainly have the opposite attitude of God, right? Just being self-sufficient and just perhaps getting to where they did get by, you know, putting others down and, you know, dog-eat-dog kind of competition. The tendency of the rich is it's never enough. You know, we got more, you know, I need more. I got a lot, but I need more. We spend a lot of time doing that. But that's not the attitude that Jesus Christ says that we should have. And there's certainly many scriptures in the Old and New Testament about, you know, financial inequity and the problems that come with that. So, we know that in the millennial kingdom, in God's millennial kingdom, you know, the right attitude towards money will be there. There won't be financial inequity. Certainly people will value it in a right way. All people have blessings, the blessings of God. But, of course, that's the future. In the meantime, we need to do our best as children of light, grow wise, learning from the parable of the unjust steward. Coveting is a major sin. It's not something light. It's not like, well, you know, it's okay, you know, spending too much time on money. Coveting is a major sin, you know, number 10. So we need to think about that. Ask God to help us to be generous and avoiding coveting whatever riches God has blessed us with. When we learn this critical lesson, then we certainly are making sure progress towards being in God's kingdom.